I was actually born in this very house, because it was pre-National Health in 1940, July the 30th, 1940. I was born in an upstairs bedroom in this house by the local GP, who was also the obstetrician at the time. Happy family, my extended family, because we had my grandmother, my grandfather, my grandmother, my father, my mother, and two sibling sisters, and we all lived happily in this house. My grandfather, he was a coal miner. He worked in the local anthracite collier here, and eventually the miner's dust got to him, and he died in 1951 when I was 11 years old from the disease. He was 61 at the time. My grandmother, she ran a haberdashery shop, which was the front part of the house. And back in the day, it was quite successful, because the village was a booming village because of the mining industry and the timplet industry that existed here. There was a rapid growth within the community. So me and my sisters, we went to the local primary school, Glenarmon Primary School. I managed somehow or other to pass the 11 plus exam, which was the way to progress back then at 11 years old. And I went from the Glenarmon Primary School to the Ammanford Grammar School, which is now the Ammanford Dufferin Ammon Comprehensive School, as it's now called. I studied there up until my GCEs back then, not GCSEs. I did six O-level subjects, physics, maths, history, geography, Welsh and English. I did go for at least two terms in the sixth form, and for some reason the powers to be thought I'd be some sort of scientist, because they put me in physics, pure maths, and applied maths course. So I don't know what potential they saw in me, but
yeah.
So in 1957, I decided to leave school, and the way it was back then, my parents knew somebody who knew somebody, and I ended up being offered a job as a draftsman, a trainee draftsman, in a company in Swansea, a company called Uniflock in Swansea. And Swansea is 18 miles away from where I'm talking to you from now. And back in the day, we didn't have cars, it was public transport. And I used to get a weekly bus ticket. I think it cost 18 shillings and sixpence in old money. And that would give me my 5 days there and back ticket money. And the bus journey in those days was a lot shorter in time than it is now. It took 55 minutes to get from home to Swansea then. I think it takes as much as an hour and a half to go from this point to that point now, but because they go all around the Dingle now instead of just direct on the road. So I worked in the Uniflock Limited in the drawing office there. Their main concern was they designed and built coal washeries, which again is a coal connection from my grandfather's day and the heritage around here with that particular company. And we built coal washeries on pitted sites around South Wales and further afield. And again, I did that for 5 years. And strangely enough, the bus that took me into Swansea stopped at St. Mary's Church in Swansea. I don't know if you know St. Mary's Church in Swansea. And immediately opposite the bus stop was the RAF recruiting office. So for 5 years, that was the first thing I saw as I got off the bus, was the RAF recruiting office. Anyway, I persevered with my draftsmanship. I studied the day release to go to tech. I did my ONC, my Ordinary National Certificate in Engineering. But after 5 years, being sort of 21 and a bit restless, I wanted to see a bit more of life than just a drawing board and coal washeries. I thought, well, where do I go from here? So as I was coming home one day, I saw the RAF recruiting office again. So I thought, right, next time down, I'm going to pop in and pay a visit there. So that's what I did. On the following Monday, I went over there at lunchtime, during my lunchtime, and had a chat with the people behind the counter there, and eventually decided to sign up for 5 years. During this period, from the age of 16 till 21, then, which I was at the time, I become an avid rugby player. So I played rugby for the Avon United RFC, and I played, believe it or not, back in the day, in the front row there. I played in all three positions: loose head, tight head, and hooker. And with my size now, I need to be double that size to succeed in this day and age, because they're like brick, whatever they call them.
They are.
So anyway, but I enjoyed my rugby anyway. That was the main thing. And when I went into the recruiting office, they asked me if I had an interest in sport, and yeah, I did. That's what we did. And again, the point of fact was that when I went to sign on, I was 5'9" and just about 16 stone. So I was quite podgy then, put it that way. So they did look me up and down a couple of times, but they said, okay, we'll have you in. So I signed on, and the first place I went to was RAF Bridgnorth, which was open back then. It's no longer. And that is where we did the square bashing process. And again, coincidentally, as we were going into Bridgnorth, the last of the National Service people were coming out. So I just missed the National Service call up. I signed that totally voluntarily. There's no presumption of me having to go into service at all. So anyway, I did my 10-12 weeks at Bridgnorth, and I got a photo of the squad here now still. I can probably give you a copy of those if it's of interest to you.
Yeah.
It gives me a photograph of me within a week of going in there, and it gives me a photograph of me on the passing out day. And in the meantime, I'd lost 2.5 stone. So I was a lot fitter than I went in, but a lot slimmer as well. So from Bridgnorth, we were due then to be posted for trade training down in RAF Melksham. And my training was to be an aircraft electrician. So we finished at Bridgnorth in June I signed on. In the June it finished. And the training course wasn't due to start till September.
Yeah, this is 1962, is it?
No, 60, yeah, that'll be all right, 62, yeah, okay. Yeah, so 62. So anyway, there was a gap of sort of five months, I suppose, four or five months. So at that point, they posted me to RAF Benson to bide some time. And RAF Benson at the time was the home for Queen's Flight. I don't know if it still is the home for the Queen's Flight.
Yes, I'm afraid I don't know. I do know RAF Benson.
So we used to fly. I forget the name of the aircraft now. It was a failed replacement for the Hercules transporter.
Yeah, the Argosy was
it could just about get itself off the ground without carrying the payload at all.
Yeah, I actually flew in an Argosy when I was about 14 years of age. From Benson.
Did they have to weigh you on and weigh you off? So anyway, the rugby season started while I was at Benson, and I thought I'd go another look, see what my chances were getting into the team. So I went down, and Wednesday was the sports day parade. You had to go and sign on, because if you played a sport, you used to have Wednesday afternoons off. So that was another reason for playing sport, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I went down and managed to convince them that I could play rugby given the experience that I'd had in West Wales.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll never forget the time I went up to the, in the sports hall it was, and got to do the left, right, stop and salute and three bags full, sir, and name, Jenkins, rank, SSC, sport, rugby, and position, and he, and I said, front row, sir, prop. And the bloke stopped writing, and he gradually lifted his head up to look at me, and he said, bit small for that, Jenkins, aren't you? So, okay, if that's your opinion, so be it, but that's what I was going to be. I wasn't going to change positions to, at that point. Anyway, I ended up playing for the station team anyway, so there must have been something about me. So I was there for the time until Melksham started then. So down to Melksham, did my trade training down there, and again played rugby down at Melksham. After passing out the trade training then, I was posted to RAF Oakington.
Oh, yes.
In Cambridgeshire. That is then where I spent the rest of my time in the Royal Air Force, was at RAF Oakington. Again, I played for the station team there. At my time there, RAF Oakington was Flying Training Command.
Yeah.
It was to teach pilots to fly multi-prop aircraft. We had the...
Varsity?
Varsity, that's right.
Yeah.
We had the Varsity there and that twin boom jet, the Vampire, on the camp there.
That's right.
And I can remember one season, I was the only airman in the team. All the others were either Zobits, as we used to call them, i.e. the trainee pilots, plus some of the senior officers there. And again, I got a picture of that team, which I can, again, send you a copy of.
Please. Yeah. Please. Yeah.
Right. So I got jabbed up twice. The Aden conflict was going on at the time. I got jabbed up twice and put on emergency standby twice, but nothing came of it. So apart from 2 weekends out in Germany, Laabrook and Rheindahlen, playing for the station team, that was my overseas service, I'm afraid. because you had technician ranks in the Air Force back then, they just started back then, and I asked what would it take for me to get on a technician's course, and they said you'd have to sign on for at least 9 years before they'd waste government money training me up to be a technician, and you leave after sort of 2 or 3 years in as a technical tradesman then, rather than an air craftsman then, shall we say.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. So, Catherine, do you have any questions at this point?
Did you enjoy it? How did you find it?
Yeah, well, put it this way, I wouldn't change what I've done. It was a good learning curve for me, learning experience for me. You know, born and bred in a little village in southwest Wales, close-knit community, not seeing many strangers, and going off into the Air Force and meeting all sorts of people, you know, Yorkies, Jocks, Paddies, Londoners, you name them, they were there, and they were all characters, and there was a tremendous bond between us all, you know. If you went into town, for example, and there was a bit of a kerfuffle, they'd look around, and if an RAF bloke saw another RAF bloke in trouble, you know, they'd be over and sort things out in no time. And Cambridge was a funny city, really. It was a city of two halves. During term time, it was heaving with students and things like that. But then when the universities were down then, it was quite a relatively quiet town. But I hasten to add that I did meet my wife when I was up in Cambridge. Her father, he was an engine mechanic, a sergeant engine mechanic. His wife, Grace, she was a Norwich, a native of Norwich City. Andrew, my wife, was born in Morris, but obviously being a forces child, she'd moved around a bit. She'd actually been out in Aden and various other camps, so she was well travelled. She'd be more well travelled than me being a serviceman, if you know what I mean. But there we are. Yeah, so we got married in the last year of my service there. So we got into married quarters there, and obviously the service was coming to an end in the July, and we came back down then to South Wales, and it was quite, although Ruth had been down there a couple of times previously, it was quite an experience for her to come down into a Welsh-speaking society, not having had much experience of any other language other than English, to be honest with you. So that was quite a cultural shock for her. But anyway, we made a welcome, as Welsh people do to strangers. And we settled down. And again, we came back to this very house. Ruth was pregnant when we left, and my daughter Beth was born in the July after my June discharge. So again, we were in this household, and in the meantime, my sister had also got married, and they were still living in this house. So this house was now starting to become a bit overcrowded. So we decided to find a place to live. I put my name down on the council house list. I managed to get a property nearby in Glenham again, which we did for 3 years. In the meantime, my father had passed away with his congenital heart problem, and my mother was getting elderly and she wasn't very fit. So, and as time passed on, it developed that Ruth had a mental health problem as well. She suffered with mental health. So I forget the exact year, but something like 71, we decided to move back in here. It was a two-way arrangement that Ruth would help look after my mother, and my mother would help look after my wife, because she had done damage to herself. She would self-harm and do all sorts of things. So, in fact, I became quite first name terms with the staff nurse down at the A&E in Llanelli Hospital, the number of times I'd been down there. But anyway, that was another issue.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Yeah. So did you carry on then as an electrician?
Well, when I was discharged, the Air Force were going to fix me up with a rehabilitation course to go back to being a draftsman again.
Oh, right.
And again, I was leaving in the June, and again, the course wasn't due to start till September. So I couldn't twiddle my thumbs drawing unemployment benefit from June till September. I went down to a factory in Ponadawi to look for some sort of work, just to tide us over, sweeping floors, doing whatever, just to keep some money coming in. So I went down, I made some phone calls, I got invited down for an interview to be a labourer, effectively. I ended up being interviewed by somebody in personnel, and they asked me could you hang on a minute? And the next thing I knew, a gentleman, Mr. Maurice Powell, came down, and he said, would you be interested in a job as a quality control engineer with the company? So, we discussed it and found out what it was all about. And in my way of thinking, a bird in hand was better than two in a bush. So yeah. I said, yes, why not?
Yeah. No, indeed.
So more or less, I started employment there within a fortnight of leaving the RAF. So I worked about a year and a half in the quality control department, and one of my roles there was to be on goods inwards inspection, checking the specification of all the products that were coming into the factory. You know, I'd use the micrometer, various gauges, etc., and you know, it was all interesting stuff. And I could draw on some of my drafting technology, because I had to read drawings to compare the components with the drawings, etc. So that worked out fine. But after a while, I started asking myself, where are all these bits coming from? How are they ended up in stores in Ponadawi? So I made some more inquiries, and I ended up speaking to the purchasing manager, Ian Brown, the purchasing manager in Aladdin, and And I said, yeah, I'm interested in, oh, Mr. Brown, it was then, sorry. Yeah, it was even after a couple of years. You know, what opportunities have you got for me to get involved in getting to know new suppliers? And lo and behold, I was offered an assistant buyer's post within the company. So I spent another 3 years with Aladdin in Pondadawi. So I went from assistant buyer to buyer to senior buyer. And all the time, since I left the Air Force, I started to re-educate myself. I went back and attended various college courses. I did do an additional maths, GCE additional maths in the RAF, just to keep the old grey cells working. So I started attending the local College Sirgar, or the Army Info Technical College as it was in the first place before it went to be College Sirgar. Mm-hmm. And I did my ONC in business studies. So at this point in time, I was hungry for progression, both to earn more money, to maintain my family, etc. So I saw an advert appearing in the local paper for a company buyer down at a company in Swansea, Bernard Hastie and Company. They were in the heating and ventilating industry. So I applied for and successfully got that job as a company buyer. And again, I still pursued my academic work, and what I did, because I'd done the ONC in Ammerville College, I did my HNC years then down in Swansea, well, it's been called so many things over the years, Swansea College of Technology, I think was the its name at the time. So I did my HNC there, and I'd also in the meantime become a member, an associate member of the Institute of Purchase and Supply. And to become a full member, you have to get certain examination qualifications to get you over that hurdle. So while I was down doing my HNC in business studies, I did the three subjects that were necessary to get me full membership of the Institute. While I was doing those three courses, I also signed up for a further course, a diploma in management studies. It's a CNAA a postgraduate course in business studies, in business management. So I did that then. So by the time I'd finished in Bernard Hastie, I got my DMS and my Institute of Purchase and Supply certificate membership. So I started to look for another job now. I'd more or less outgrown my I've always been successful in the jobs I'm in. I'm a very organized and, what can I say, pragmatic, logistic, I think things through. So from no system, I set up a system there. So they have stock control systems, they have purchasing systems. So I achieved that. So I thought it's time to move on now. I've done what I could there, so I moved on. So from Bernard Hastie and Company, I then went to a company in Bridgend, Harris Economy, and they manufactured scrap processing machinery. And if you, the one claim to fame is, you know, the machine that in the James Bond film where they put that car into a big crusher, it goes in as a car and comes out as a cube.
All right, right.
Well, that's the sort of machinery they were doing there.
Right, right.
So I went there. I went there as a senior buyer, although I wasn't the overall controller of the purchasing department there. But again, it's a case of small fish in a big pool or a big fish in a small pool. I always showed a salary progression, put it that way then. So by now I'm in Harris Economy. And by the way, Harris Economy are located in Bridgend, which is 36 miles away from home. But by this time I had a car, obviously. I wasn't commuting by public transport 36 miles each way, and I can remember going to Bridgend when the M4 wasn't the M4 we know it as now. You had to come off in a pile, you had to go through a pile, etc. And there was the old Gritton Ferry Bridge, and the traffic chaos was as bad then as it is now. But anyway, that's another story. So anyway, after period of time at Harris Economy, it was time to make another move. And I'm just trying to get my head around now. I moved from Harris Economy to Newport Steelworks in Llanelli. And I went there as a senior buyer, and obviously Newport Steels was quite a large company in Llanelli there, and of course it's no longer in existence, unfortunately. But I think that closed down partially due to decisions made by a certain lady called Margaret Thatcher, but anyway, we won't dwell on that. So I worked there for a year and a half. I left in the December to go to a company called Flex Tank again, which was up in Pontacummer, the other side of Bridge End. They were in plastic rotational molding. And this time I was back again as the purchasing and stock control manager there. And it's the first time I ever had a company car with a job, so that was good. So I stayed there for 3 years, and after 3 years there, I went then back down to Llanelli then to a company called Salter Housewares. I don't know if you're familiar with Salter Housewares. They used to make all sorts of kitchen scales, the bathroom scales.
And oh, yes.
All that sort of product, you know, yeah. Consumer products there.
Yeah.
Again, I was a company buyer there. And again, I retained the company car aspect, which again was good. And I was with them for 3 years. And then my last job within procurement was back up to a company called Powersport International in Bridge End. And Powersport International, if you're interested in weight training and keep fit, they were the manufacturers of the multi-gym, the multi-station bit of weight training equipment.
Mm.
So, and I stayed with them for 15 years. So that was the longest stint I had with any one company. And during my time with them, they had a staff showroom. And we as staff were really allowed to use it. It had a shower, it was a backup place, you know, it was all the best for showing showcasing the equipment of the company. So I got myself involved in pumping the old iron there. So I managed to maintain my fitness. I'm going back a bit. I kept playing rugby till I was 38 years old. I played rugby for 20 odd years, after which I turned gamekeeper, and I went to referee then, so I wasn't best of friends with my playing colleagues then. I refereed for about 5 years, mainly with the Amman Valley Youth Organization. And during this time also, I started to play squash at the local leisure centre, and I also took up Wadaru Karate. So I was quite an active sports person there, you know, a sportsman. I always liked the challenge in that respect. And all the time I was continuing with my education. At one point in time, my youngest daughter, she married a self-employed electrician in Llandeilo. And to help him with his accounts, which I did, but I also decided to take up a course of electrical installation. So I did a City and Guilds course in electrical installation, which I did. So in theory, if I could refresh the course, I could be a qualified ordinary electrician. I'm not just an aircraft electrician. So I did that. And also, because I was still interested in drafting, I started to get interested in computer-aided design. So the CAD, I did City and Guilds up to level 4 in 2D and 3D CAD. And this was at the same time I'd signed on to do a foundation degree it started out as in building construction at Cap College Sirgan. I was, what was I, 60, 65 by this time. So I was pursuing that course, plus the CAD course. But because of family reasons, my wife passing away being one thing and me joining the council was another thing, I found I couldn't finish the course, but I did. Although I didn't, I had a final year to do to get the foundation degree, I did qualify as a, with Higher National, with a credit, with a distinction, and was, in fact, CIOB, that's the Chartered Institute of Builders, Student of the Year in the final year there. So the grey cells, they work if you keep pushing them, you see. These people who stop doing that, they're the ones who sort of fall by the wayside, I think. So anyway, while I was doing this foundation degree course, the chap who was delivering computer-aided design in College Sirgan in Abbotsford, he had MS and his health was deteriorating. And because he and I had been on some of these CAD courses together, he asked me if I could take on some classes there. So I became a lecturer in the college as well, teaching computer-aided design.
Very good.
So quite a checkered employment history there, to be honest with you. So having said that, so as I said, the wife passed away and I had decisions to make then. What do I do? Do I sit and mope or do I get on with my life and do what best I can to support my family and my grandchildren? So I signed on for the town council initially. I got in and after a second attempt, I tried first in 2004, which I failed to get in, but on the second attempt, I managed to get on Carmarthenshire County Council then, representing the Glenammon ward, which is the ward I'm representing now. So from 2008 till 2015, we were in opposition. I'm a member of the Plaid Cymru organisation. Mm-hmm. So we were in opposition for those sort of 7 years. And then political intrigue happened where members of the Labour Party fell out amongst themselves and they stabbed each other in the back. And because of the goings on, the Independent Party had a nice little core of membership. They decided, they'd been in collaboration with the Labour Party for many, many years. They decided they didn't want to work with them anymore. And Plaid, they were the largest single party, but we couldn't get a majority because we didn't have more than 50% of the seats then. So the Independents came across to us and asked if we'd become the administration with them, which we gladly took. Emlyn Dole was the current leader of the council, as you probably know. I was deputy leader of the Plaid group at the time. Asked if he was willing to become the leader, and he took me on as his exec board member for resources. Which is a post I've currently held since 2015 and I'm still holding. My responsibilities are finance and budget, the corporate property and asset manager, procurement, housing benefits, revenues, contact centres and customer service centres, the Armed Forces Champion, the statutory services, which includes coroners, registrars, and the Lord Lieutenancy, and the Chair of the Corporate Governance Group and County Councillor Risk Champion. I'm a governor at two schools, the School of Bedol in Garnet, which is a primary school, and the School of Dufferin Amon in Ammanford, which is, I think it's the largest secondary school in Carmarthenshire. I represent the local authority on a few outside bodies, namely I'm a trustee on the Llanelli House in Llanelli itself. I'm a trustee on the National Botanical Gardens of Wales. I'm an active member then of the Welsh WLGA, the Welsh Local Government Association Council. And I'm a director of Egni Sirgar, which is an arm's length company run by Carmarthen County Council to develop renewable energy on its building portfolio. Oh, right. So that's all I do.
Right. Well, so is, I mean, you've had a very, very full life, haven't you, so far?
Well, yeah, I can look back and say, yeah, I've done it my way, as Frankie Sinatra would say. You know, there's been in the right place at the right time, right? There's been some luck involved as well. I couldn't have said that when I left the Air Force that this was my predetermined route to the future, but this is where I am.
Absolutely. Catherine?
I don't know if you mentioned it, but why did you leave the Air Force? What made you decide to take another route?
Well, unless I signed on to get that technical qualification and how long it would take me then to work up the ranks, I'd already been in 4.5 years. So, you know, if I'd have signed on for 9 years at day one, I would have probably been on the technician course within two or 3 years, or so. I'd have been perhaps a corporal technician, or even perhaps even almost a sergeant technician, chief technician, as we call them, by the time I was leaving. But to start again at 4 years in, I think, no, it wasn't my decision.